That was terrific, kids. Awesome praise for the King of Kings. Let's finish rehearsals with our last song and narrations. Narrators, to your mics. Is everyone here?
Abigail here.
Present and accounted for, Mrs. P.
I'm here, Mrs. Parks.
Thank you, Emily. All right, 3 out of 4. Who's missing? Where's Bradley?
I'm sure he'll be here soon, Mrs. P.
He must have a good reason for being late.
Well, we can all use a break. Everyone, grab a seat. I'll go grab some coffee.
Hey, Brad, you're seriously tardy.
We covered for you, Brad. We told Mrs. Parks you had a good reason for being late.
So what exactly is your reason, Bradley?
I was opening presents. My grandma just got to town.
Oh yeah, grandmas always bring the best of presents.
Well, she told me that she brought something that I've been waiting all year for, but I have to wait till I get home in order to find out what it is. So can we hurry this up? I got more important stuff to do.
Now that's the real Christmas spirit.
Waiting a long time for a great gift sounds like the story we're trying to tell here.
Why can't we just go over the next part while waiting for Mrs. P to come back?
That's a good idea, Alex. Come on, everyone. We can be out of here in no time. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory shone around them, and there the angel said to them,
"Hold it!
I was just trying to speed things up a little.
We worked a long time writing this, and we shouldn't have to rush through it just because you want to rush home and open up presents.
Abigail's right. It's okay to get excited about a gift, but we spent a lot of time writing the script. It's about the most important gift anyone will ever get on Christmas.
Yeah, remember the reason for this season?
Sorry. And there are shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And a sign be to you, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests."
To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on until forever.
Bethlehem and see, in whose birth the angels sing. Come.
The night Jesus was born, all of heaven exploded with praise.
Angelic fireworks filled the dark night and hope lit up the sky.
Thousands and thousands of angels were singing, "Glory to the newborn king."
The angels' song was a Christmas card announcing that God has sent his very best. Their message was good news for all people.
There was a brand new song heard in heaven that night, a song of rejoicing as God sent his gift of salvation to the whole world. The angels' message came to lowly shepherds who had no wealth or position.
They were poor.
They were outcasts.
They were definitely at the bottom of the food chain.
Hold it!
Not again.
That's not what we wrote, Alex.
I just added it. Don't you like it? Okay, I'll take it out.
Being a shepherd wasn't something you grew up wanting to be. They didn't have much hope that their lives would ever change.
But in a moment, everything changed. They heard the angels' good news of great joy. It was for them. The song the angels sang was for them. Suddenly, nothing else mattered.
These shepherds watched over the temple sheep. They knew the value of a sacrificial lamb. They would not have left them unguarded. But when they heard the good news, they left everything, including their sheep, to go find the baby they had been told about.
After they had seen him, all they wanted to do is tell everyone about him.
The angels' song of praise became their song of praise. God had chosen them to share the good news. He had given them a great gift.
This gift wasn't wrapped in fancy paper with a shiny ribbon with fancy bows. This gift was wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger.
Jesus lay down his sweet head.
Shepherds didn't have to go far to meet the newborn king, but there were others who came later. They had traveled a long way to find their Messiah.
These men were wealthy scholars called Magi. They read the prophecies and knew from the stars the Messiah has been born. They had waited a long time for this baby. They knew that he was king of all kings.
The Magi came in a mighty caravan with hundreds, maybe thousands, of soldiers and servants. They brought valuable gold, frankincense, and myrrh to give him. They entered the small house, ready to offer their treasures. But in that moment, in his presence, all they could do was fall down and worship and offer him their heart.
The Magi returned to their home differently than the way they had come, just like the shepherds. They met Jesus and will never be the same again.
You might wait a long time for a gift, but when it's not the right color or doesn't fit, or maybe it's not even what you wanted, but our Father always knows what's right.
God's gift to us isn't a gift that you can see with your eyes. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you seek him, you will find him, when you seek him with all your heart."
Long ago, God sent the most precious gift he could give through his Son. He gave a promise on the night he was born. He kept that promise at the cross.
Jesus is God's word, and he will never leave us. He is always with us. He is our Emmanuel.
Long before the birth of Christ, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and said a virgin will be with the child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
And God's word is always true. The word became flesh and made the dwelling among us.
All right, kids, looks like we're all here. Let's get in our places and get started.
We've pretty much been through everything, Miss Parks.
We just got one more song.
I'm sorry, Mrs. P. I was kind of in a hurry to get home.
I heard why you're late. In a hurry to open gifts?
I guess I was, but I now realize that I forgot the best gift for Christmas, the one I can't see. I was looking for all the shiny bows and fancy ribbons, and I forgot to look with my heart. Tonight helped me remember.
Gifts are a part of Christmas. We all make our Christmas gifts. But God has a Christmas list too, and you're on it. Isaiah 49:16 says, "Your name was written on the palm of his hand before the beginning of time. He loves you, and the best gift you can give back to him is live your life for him." All right, everyone, let's start the final song. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Well, let's go.
Lord, we love telling stories of how you sent Jesus to us, and every time you tell it, you remind us of what the season is all about.
This Christmas, we want to be like the angels and sing your praise.
We want to be like the shepherds and share the good news of the birth of your son.
We want to be like the wise men, seeking your with all your
and we want to give you all of our praise, for we've been giving the best gift there is. It's for your glory that we sing this Christmas, Jesus, for your glory of the King.
Worship Christ the newborn King.
Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. For the glory of the King, for the honor of his name.
Lifted up, and becomes an offering for the
Thank you, thank you, thank you, kids. That was absolutely awesome. We are so grateful that you led us in worship today. And I've got about 45 minutes of preaching to do. Just kidding. If you just want to take a seat where you're at, and I'm just going to say a few words here as we bring this to a close this morning. Wasn't that awesome? It is just such a blessing. Yeah. Thank you. It's such a blessing to be led in worship by you all today, and that's really what you've done. So thank you so much. A couple weeks ago, as I was sitting around the dinner table with my own family, I asked the question, prompted by our devotional for Advent, why do we think people sing? Why do people sing? And we had a great conversation about we sing to express what's in our hearts, the joy in our hearts, or whatever it might be in our hearts, or maybe there's something that we can't quite say in words, but we can sing it in song. And we also talked about how we sing in order to praise God. And this morning we heard that Christmas hymn, Angels We've Heard on High, and might wonder, where is that in the Bible? Where is it that angels sing? And that's in Luke chapter 2, where Luke writes that there was an angel and then a multitude of angels out in the country, and as was said in our musical, that the shepherds were the lowest on the food chain, I think, was what was said, that the angels went out and they sang to these shepherds. And what they sang was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And so Christmas is a time of celebrating the birth of God, who took on flesh in Jesus Christ. But we might then immediately ask, but what was God doing in becoming a baby? What was the purpose of that? Was it just to hang out with us? What was the goal? What was the purpose? And there's another Christmas carol that involves angels singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And consider these words from the first stanza. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. We saw that comes from Luke chapter 2. Peace on earth and mercy mild. And then this line, God and sinners reconciled. That's the essence of why God became man in Jesus. Yes, Jesus, and we celebrate it at Christmas time, that God took on flesh, that Jesus, this baby, was fully human and also fully God. But it's also important we remember why he came, the purpose for which he came. God and sinners reconciled. We might ask, how is this accomplished? Well, it's accomplished in a word through the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel's something. The gospel is a message about God, it's a message about sin, and it's a message about Jesus. God, sin, and Jesus. It's a message about God, who he is, and therefore who we are as his creatures who owe our existence to him. That God, we can't know God as our Redeemer unless we first know him as our Creator. We were made to worship God. We were made to serve God. We were made to praise God. We were made to know God, to fellowship with God, to live for his glory. And as human creatures, we are absolutely dependent upon our Creator. And he makes an absolute claim on our lives. We're his property. He's made us. And the gospel's a message about sin. And sin in the Bible is defined as lawlessness, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, that we've all blown it, and there's nothing that we can do to bring us back into God's favor. And yet the essence of sin is our failure in our hearts to honor God as God for who he is. Sin is especially evil, not because we fall short of some standard we have for ourselves, not because we're kind of all around flops or whatever we're thinking, but because we have offended and defied God himself, our Creator. That we have rebelled against God. It's called the fall of man. It might better be called the rebellion of man. Our sin has ultimately separated us from God, and we stand under his just condemnation. And so finally, the gospel's a message about Christ. Both who he is, his person, and his work, what he's done for us. And so, yes, Jesus, it's a time of year where we celebrate that God has taken on flesh, fully God, fully man in Jesus. And yet he came to accomplish this work of reconciling God and man. He lived the perfect life that you and I should have lived. All the ways we've blown it as we look back on our lives, Jesus was faithful in our place. And not only that, he lived the perfect life, which made him a spotless lamb, as John the Baptist saw Jesus approach. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Not only did he live the life we should have lived, but he died the death that we deserve to die in our place. And as he was dying on the cross, one of his final words was "Tetelestai." It is finished. Well, what is finished? The payment for sin, the debt that we owed, had been completely made and accepted by the Father. How do we know it's been accepted by the Father? Romans 4 tells us that Jesus was raised for our justification. That when God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, he vindicated Jesus. And it shows, the resurrection shows, that that offering for our sin was accepted by the Father. Now, that's all great, but does that just automatically apply to everyone? No. Finally, the gospel is a summons to repentance and faith. The great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, defined repentance as the discovery of the evil of sin. Have you ever had that personal discovery that my sin, personally, my sin is an offense against God? It's evil. It's not just a mistake. It's a decision to fail. It's rebellion against our Creator. And repentance is a resolution then, in light of seeing that, to forsake that sin, to turn from that sin, to turn from that false source of righteousness. But turn to what? Well, that's where faith comes in. Faith is a God-given way of seeing. Faith and repentance are gifts from God. They're nothing we conjure up. And faith allows us to see who God is in his holiness as our Creator, but also as our Redeemer. Faith allows us to see our sin as sin, truly offensive to God. And ultimately, it's the ability to see God's gracious provision for my sin in Jesus, in his perfect life, but especially in his death on the cross, Christ and him crucified. The scriptures call us to faith, not just in what Jesus did, but in especially in the person of Christ, the living Christ, who's alive even today. He's alive now. And the scriptures call us to faith in him. And so there's all kinds of great Christmas gifts, right? It's Christmas time. And we're excited. I remember being these guys' age up here, and we always had a little Advent thing where we opened the little paper door each day, and chocolate was in there. I think, oh, I count all those days. When do I get to open all my presents, right? Get so excited about that. And that's great to be excited about. But we got to remember the greatest gift ever given was given by God himself in the Christ child. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave a great gift in his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinners wouldn't perish but would have everlasting life in turning to him in repentance and faith. And so it's our prayer at New Hope that you too, if you have never trusted in Christ, that this Christmas would mark a totally different Christmas for you, and that you would come to be reconciled, God and sinners reconciled, through the work that this child who's come, the child who was born to do one thing, to die on the cross for our sins, that you would be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that you would become an adopted son or daughter of the Lord Most High because of Christ. And that's our prayer. Let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be led in worship by our children. We thank you for the amazing morning this has been. We thank you for the adult volunteers who have helped us and youth volunteers and so on who have helped us this morning and pulled this off. We thank you for this season of Advent in which you call us to reflect on your taking on flesh, God, the eternal God, taking on our skin, God with skin on in Jesus. We thank you for the birth of Christ. We thank you that, Lord, you sent him to pay the penalty that we can't pay in our place. And we thank you that you've demonstrated you've accepted that offering, that sin offering on the cross, by raising Jesus from the dead and vindicating Jesus and his claims to be who he claimed to be, God in flesh, who's come to redeem humanity. Pray, Lord Jesus, for anyone here who may not know the Lord in a saving way, that you would work in a powerful way in their hearts and minds and drawing them through this Advent time, through the gospel message, to saving faith. We recognize that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. We pray that the gospel would be clear and that you would even reap a harvest of souls this Advent season in our own community. Perhaps even here in this room, there would be some who would come to know Jesus. This would be a wholly different Christmas for them. Thank you for this morning to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.